This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Joining us now is our semi-regular sex educator, Louise Boucher. Good evening, Louise.
Hello. How Welcome. Are you both going?
Very well.
Not bad. Excellent. Thanks for having me here again.
That's no all right. Now, as I said, you're a semi-regular. You jet set around the world.
Oh, occasionally jet set.
Oh, where have you been
Not
jet setting?
Not a full-time jet setter. Part-time jet setter.
Part-time. Where have you jet set?
I think last time I came on, I just came back from Mozambique and South Africa.
Oh. Yeah.
And I'm about to go to the US.
Oh.
So, yeah, between trips.
Whereabouts in the US, sorry?
Starting in Portland.
Okay.
Portland, San Fran. I'm actually going to be there for Pride, which should be fun.
Oh,
yeah,
my
I get
God.
To go to the Dyke March and a few of those things.
Amaze.
Yeah. And then I'll go to New York for a bit.
Yeah.
And possibly up to Canada. We'll see how I go. Yeah.
Great.
Tough life.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm teaching a few workshops. I'm reuniting with a sex education colleague, Kate McCombs. So we're really looking forward to it. It's been a year since we worked together. So we're really looking forward to it.
Right.
Yeah.
Great.
And you do sex education work for gay boys?
I do sex education work for all sorts of people.
All sorts of adults. Adults?
Yes. I do sort of over 18 sex ed. So a lot of pleasure based stuff. I do classes on sex toys, on anatomy and physiology. Healthy relationships, sexual health, all sorts of things, but primarily with an adult focus.
So let's talk about physiology, for example.
Okay, yeah.
The penis.
Yes. So as you know, I did a class on Tuesday night.
Right.
I taught a class on male pleasure physiology.
Yep.
So you've got knowledge that's fresh in my mind.
Yes.
What do you want to know, Andrew?
Well,
what do you
okay, penises.
Did you go?
No, I didn't
all
go.
Right.
But of course, we gave away tickets last week.
Yes, so. I thought that may have been the same
yes.
thing.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so let's say the penis, circumcised, uncircumcised. How different is it for a guy that he's circumcised compared to somebody who's uncircumcised with regards to stimulation and sensitivity?
Mm. So firstly, what I need to say is it's really hard to do studies that can gather accurate information on this.
True, because you're either one or the other.
Well, because most circumcision is performed in infancy.
Yep. Mm.
So by the time adults go into these kind of trials, they don't have enough information to kind of
compare
both sides. Mm. And for people who experience or who are circumcised later in life, that might have different outcomes from somebody who is circumcised later.
Sure.
Like it might not really be exactly the same. So there have been a few different studies. What we do know, though, is that because in circumcision the skin is removed from the head of the penis, it means the head is more exposed. So it is less sensitive to the touch, to the physical, like if you touch it with your finger or rub it. That's not, as far as we know, correlated to sexual pleasure necessarily. It's a bit inconclusive. But certainly to light touch, it's a bit less sensitive. There's lots of nerve endings in the foreskin as well, which are removed in circumcision. So
in circumcision?
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, in the
foreskin has lots of nerve endings in it as well. So, yeah.
But not to give you pleasure.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh.
But I mean, the foreskin rolls back, comes back over over the head of the penis.
Yeah.
So
another big, I guess another role of the foreskin, or not role, but way it often, pans
out. It's job description.
Is that
to be a role.
During sex or masturbation for uncircumcised people, the foreskin will roll over the head and back and forth over the head. So that can provide stimulation. And for somebody who's circumcised, they don't have that kind of stimulation. So, some differences. I wouldn't necessarily say they were massive, but there's evidence there's a difference in sensitivity. Yeah.
Well, I don't have one, so...
Oh, you don't?
A penis, a foreskin?
I definitely have a penis.
It's
the foreskin
joking,
that's missing. That's okay.
And how do you feel about that?
No, I'm quite happy with that, actually. I don't think I'm missing out on anything. It's also because I've come across a few guys that have... Their foreskin has been too tight.
Yeah.
And it's terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm so glad that I have had that, snipped off or sliced off. What do they do? And, yes, it's just so there's not that problem. Plus, there's also been people that have, have hygiene problems.
Yeah.
Circumcise everyone. That's what I'm totally for circumcision, less of a chance of getting HIV, and less of a chance you're going to come across one that smells.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. There are certainly arguments for and against. You know, there are different sort of pros and cons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And James, as a circumcised guy, do you find there is any foreskin stigma or discrimination?
You know what? I have come across it a couple of times, but it's been with older guys. I don't know, maybe they're just looking for a fetish that is, you know, a little bit out there.
Right.
They're like, oh, actually, no, not going to hook up because you don't have a foreskin.
Wow.
I'm like, don't think I'm missing out on anything then. If you're just looking for a foreskin and I can't give that to you, then... It's right off.
Yeah, foreskin wanted. It's like a job description.
Yeah,
and of course, in Australia, circumcision rates are quite low compared to, say, the US.
Yeah, compared to the US or some other countries.
Generational, right?
Yeah, generational as well. Yeah, and different cultural groups have lots of different rates of performing it.
All right.
So what else did you, in physiologically sense, what else did you to cover?
So physiology, by the way, kind of means anatomy, but it means like how anatomy works.
Okay.
Anatomy is like the bits. Physiology is like how anatomy works. So that's what the class was on. We also talked a lot about the prostate.
Yes.
So like indirect stimulation through the perineum or direct stimulation. So
perineum?
Perineum, between the balls and the bum hole. What do you call it?
Oh,
yeah.
That space between the balls and the bum hole.
The bit that makes you go, ooh.
Yeah.
Some people call it no man's land or the gooch. There's a few other terms.
That's what I've heard.
Because you hit that sometimes and it can stimulate.
Stimulate it, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah, yeah. That's true.
I've only had someone do that to me recently, and no one's ever done that before. I was like, well, hang on. Something new.
I've been missing out on that.
Yeah, I've been missing out on that. Yeah. 27, been missing out for a while. Bringing it into the routine. Putting it into the routine list.
If you don't know how to stimulate your gooch, then you're out of luck.
Definitely been using it in different ways, but now I know to press on it.
Yeah.
Is there a particular way that guys should be pressing on it?
Well, it depends what kind of sensations you want to explore. Like, some people would prefer just a light touch just for that kind of surface level stimulation. But if you want to put pressure on the prostate, so the prostate is sometimes called the male G-spot. It's inside the body and it's most easily accessed up the bum and kind of bending forward to the front wall there. But if you want to access it less directly, you can press on the perineum. And that requires a firmer kind of pressure. And different people will have preferences around the timing of that. Perhaps approaching orgasm, it's more likely to be enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, and there are different points. You know, if you push nearer the balls, it tends to be a firmer kind of tissue. So it's a bit different from further back. There's a softer tissue where you can get more sort of direct pressure onto the prostate. So, yeah, you can play around with different things.
Yeah, there's definitely been times where... No, my mum says she wasn't going to listen. Definitely times where I've been in there and I'm just like, where the hell is it? It's like you're trying to find like a needle in a haystack. Just, it's not.
In the dark.
In the dark, yeah, exactly. And you're just, your fingers are going around like in a dark room, just looking for a light switch and nothing's being switched on.
In centimetres or in finger-wise, how
far is it? Because it's not very far away, is it?
I can't remember off the top of my head. Perhaps we can Google that during the next break or something. Mm. But it's, you know, a certain amount of centimetres, not super far in. I guess there is a certain amount of variation.
Probably one to two knuckles in.
Yeah, well, most male fingers would be able to reach far enough to access it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it all depends. And also the prostate will become larger during sexual arousal. So at the beginning of an interaction, it might be harder to find. And also when you do locate it, it might not feel...
How big does it get?
It might not feel sexually sensitive until arousal. About the size of a walnut, they say.
How big does it start?
I don't know. I don't know what the difference between original and maximal size of the prostate is.
Because you're saying, you might not find it at the start, but you might find it a few minutes in. I'm like, jeez, must grow exponentially.
Well, as long as it doesn't go from a pea to a watermelon. Or
No, that's not quite what happens. Okay. No,
that would be much easier to find.
Yeah, true.
The prostate contributes part of the fluid that comes out in ejaculate, so it kind of works itself up during arousal.
Ah, yeah.
That's true, because if you just... Mm. jerk off and you haven't been like masturbating for very long, then you're not going to get much to come out. Whereas if you've been watching porn for 6 hours,
yes,
you'll flood yourself.
Yep.
You're on Hide and Seek with James Finlay, Andrew the Apprentice, and in the studio, Louise, sex educator. You're on Joy 94.9.
Hide and Seek. Radio. Joy 94.9.
You're on Hide and Seek with James Finlay and Andrew the Apprentice. And if you want to get in touch with us and ask our sexpert some questions, our sexpert Louise, you can 0427 Joy 949 or on air at joy.org.au. And some people have been getting in touch
that
with
is.
Us.
That is. Scotty's messaging again, saying, hello, Scotty, again. I don't have tattoos, but joked with mates maybe I'd get one on my perineum.
Right.
Okay. I wonder what would it be a picture of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Press here.
Yeah, press here. Doorbell sign yeah. or something. Yeah.
And we'll... Well, I'll
get
know.
To
we'll,
that one.
We'll get oh. to our... Yeah, well, let's get to that one.
Now or later?
Later.
Yeah. But we were talking about the prostate and where exactly it is and how people can find it because we wanted to find out just exactly how far you had to go. How deep?
Yes. Now, I found a disturbing website. That,
disturbing.
Oh, that's
it, it suggests a good common instrument to use to if this is if you're exploring yourself.
Don't say it. That's totally bad advice.
This looks like
don't
bad advice.
Don't say it. It's bad advice. But it's, say that, it and we'll explain why it's bad advice.
Okay.
They say use a wooden drumstick.
No.
I know. I just thought, no.
Splinters is the first thing I'm thinking of.
Okay, splinters is not the first concern. The first concern is that anything you put up your bum has to have a flared base, like a larger base.
So it doesn't get
otherwise
lost.
Otherwise, it can get lost inside the body. And often, you know, you start playing with something, you don't think the whole thing's going to go in, you're just fooling around.
And it does.
And,
it does.
And then, is, you know, during arousal and with a bit of lube, and suddenly you have, you know,
a drumstick,
a
whole
a drumstick or a pen or a mascara or whatever.
A carrot or a zucchini.
And, you know, it's funny to laugh about, but it's actually not really a laughing matter health-wise. So don't drumsticks.
Don't use a drumstick.
I love stories from nursing friends who work on emergency wards because the amount of people that go into emergency because they've lost something in their ass is quite high.
Yeah. Okay. Did you see there was a guy recently who got a vibrator stuck up his bum and it was still vibrating?
Oh.
And then he live tweeted the whole hospital experience. So he was like, here I am at the hospital, embarrassing, you know, hashtag bad day or whatever.
Yeah.
And he was like showing photos of his x-rays and stuff and making jokes about like, you know, these Duracell batteries sure go and go or whatever. Do you know what I mean?
Couldn't he? Was he by himself at the time? Because surely he could have got someone to get it out for him.
It all depends. With cylindrical objects, sometimes they tilt and you can't really push them out. They can, as in like they can go on your bum and then tilt on an angle and they're hard to push out of the body.
Right.
Mm. And they can go a bit too far in. Like even though you think they probably won't, they can just go too far in for you to be able to reach.
Right.
So
okay.
It's not a good look.
No.
Go and buy a toy. They might be more expensive than you want, but go and buy a toy.
Now,
use your finger. That'll never get lost. It's attached to your hand.
Exactly.
Because like it's terrifying enough losing a condom in there. And you know, and then you have to try and fish that out. It's like, oh, what the hell is this? Can you just imagine if you lost something bigger than that? You've never lost a condom in there. It's happened twice to me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's not fun.
Yeah, no.
But
it's
safe. It's come out. And I'm alive.
No. Now, but what this does say, though, is 4 to 5 inches. Now, 4 to 5 inches seems a lot.
For what?
To reach the
prostate.
The prostate. That seems a long way.
4 to 5 inches.
I would have thought it's more 2 to 3.
It's like a very small penis.
Yes.
Away.
I thought it was kind
that's
of
like
7 or 8.
Like 2 inches.
I thought it was kind of 7 or 8 centimeters.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't want
like
to say
two,
so without
2 to 3 inches.
Checking the facts, but yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Cause maybe this
who
is a
knows
person.
What website you're looking at?
Yeah, I know. This
some
one's a dodgy
website.
One where they're saying use drumsticks.
Yeah, that's true. If they're saying put a drumstick up your ass, I'm pretty sure we're not going to take it for any other advice.
If you want to read a really good book on this, read a book called The Ultimate Guide to Prostate Pleasure. Oh, that came out last year. Yeah, it's a very high quality book. It's written by Charlie Glickman and Aislinn. I think her last name is pronounced Amirzian. And yeah, it's a really good guide. So techniques, anatomy, hygiene, all sorts of stuff in there. Health, like prostate health and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we've covered circumcision and prostate. What other, were there any other key topics around physiology and anatomy?
There were no other major ones, but I did touch on a topic that I don't know a whole lot about yet and is generally a bit less known about, but I'm starting to learn more, which is the inguinal canals. Have either of you heard of those?
No.
So
I've never heard of that before.
And I didn't know how to pronounce it until I had to listen to some sort of funny online dictionary robot pronunciation, so I could be getting it wrong.
Inguinal. That's true.
Exactly, yeah. It's... From what I know, there are the kind of these canals at the front of the abdomen of the male body, and I think that's where the testes descend, like in utero, in terms of male development. And there's kind of a residual canal there, and some people actually like to have a finger or something narrow kind of poked into that area. It's kind of just above the pubic bone. You'll need to jump on the internet to check it out because I don't know heaps about it. It's something which can be quite sensitive at first, and then you can kind of, it starts to be a bit more sexually pleasurable if you just kind of go slow and try it out.
Okay,
so it's not the tubes connected to the testes.
I don't think so. I think it's a different thing. That's the ones that you. I'm actually not sure. I need to learn more about it. All I know is that I started to know it, to learn a bit more about it yesterday or the day before. Yeah, inguinal. It's a bit of an alternative practice for you to investigate. Inguinal.
Okay.
So just something for us to learn up on.
If you do know that, let us know. 0427 JOY 949 or email onair@joy.org.au.
I wonder if that's something Dean Beck knows. Give us a call, Dean.
So.
Yeah, something you know.
Yeah. I guess the other thing, we talked about this last time, would be sounding. That's the other thing to do with male anatomy, but we don't want to rehash that.
You can go to our podcast at joy.org.au/hide-and-seek/whichever one it is to listen in to the podcast from Louise. Mm. Now, let's quickly go to toys. We're saying flared bottoms on anal toys.
Very important.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We also talked last time about the mix between silicon and oil and water and all those sort of
things.
The lube conundrum. It's a slippery slope.
Yeah.
That's why I get paid the big bucks.
Okay, so moving to round to the front then, cock rings.
Yeah.
What are your key tips on cock ring use?
Yeah. You can't keep them on for too long.
Yeah, I guess my key tip for cock rings is if you're somewhat of a beginner, really make sure you go slow and don't be too ambitious. Like try a stretchy ring that you won't feel too trapped in. Don't wear it for too long. As a person gets more experience, they'll have a bit more intuition and they can do different things with their body. But yeah, beginning, either use a leather or kind of a clip one where you can clip it to a different tightness.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? You can unclip it. Or use quite a stretchy rubbery one just to experiment with that sensation. Okay. Yeah.
They can become quite extreme cock rings, can't they?
Yeah, you can get all sorts of like cages, you know, with multiple rings that. Ball separators.
Yes, I've seen those too.
Ones that are attached to steel butt plugs, and then they come around to a ring at the front.
Oh yes, yes, that's intriguing.
I always find cock rings. Often you need to be well manicured.
Because
the hair can get in.
You don't want to get involved.
No.
Yuck.
You can also, like, maybe less so with a leather one, but you can put lube on cock rings, you know, so that might help from getting caught on your pubes.
Yeah.
What about penis vibrators? Have you...
Penis vibrators?
Penis vibrators?
No.
Do you mean, like, electro things, or do you mean...
There's, like, a toy, for example...
We need to talk about that one time.
Electro shock stuff.
Mm.
I wasn't thinking of that. I was thinking of... There's two that I can think of, but there's probably more. The Cobra Libre, which is made by Fun Factory. It looks like a car, but at the front of the car, it kind of just has a hole, and so you'd put your head of your penis in there, and then the toy vibrates, and you can do... It does kind of revvy car things, and it just would vibrate the head of the penis.
Oh,
right.
Yeah, there's another one called the Pulse that I'm also thinking of where it's kind of almost like a cup-shaped thing and you lie your penis and you can kind of close the silicone around it.
Yeah.
And it's got this little pad on the inside, so when you're using it up and down on the penis, it actually changes the vibration as the pressure changes over that pad.
Ah.
So there are a few vibrators out there for penises.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. All right. Yeah, well, we're going to have to talk about that again soon.
Another time, yeah.
Now, James, we've had a few questions in on 0427JOY949 and email onair@joy.org.au. Do we want to quickly run through some of those?
Yes. One of them came in and said, oh, I was wondering if there was a girl version of your anatomy class.
A girl version.
Girl pleasure.
In fact, probably that's the class I do most. I teach female orgasm or female pleasure physiology. That's a class I teach often. Unfortunately, I'm about to go overseas, so I don't have any upcoming dates for it.
Mm-hmm.
But watch this space and...
keep tuned in to Hide and Seek.
Exactly. When I'm back in town, I'll come back on the show and I'll...
And spruik the hell out.
Let you know what I'm up to. But it won't be for a few months. But yes, absolutely, I do those classes and they're really fun as well.
Now, Mick has texted in and he says he knows where this where your testes come through your abdominal muscles in utero, and it tears footballers with a groin injury.
Yes.
Usually have an inguinal hernia. Surgery to fix.
Uh-huh.
So it was football injury.
Football injury / possible pleasure zone.
Yeah. It's a fine line between pleasure and pain, right?
Oh, boom, boom. You're on fire tonight.
On fire tonight.
Louise Boucher, thank you so much for joining us again on here.
Thank you very much for having
me.
It was a pleasure as always.
And have a safe trip to the US.
Thank you.
Look forward to having you back in when you get return.
Fabulous. I'll have stories to tell.
Oh, yes, please.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.